For any sized donation before December 1st, we'll send you my 2021 Advent devotional booklet. Make a secure online gift at thewordendures.org or make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you my new Advent devotional booklet.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
But when you see, that suggests that what was foretold by Daniel was only partially fulfilled in the horrible oppression of the wicked king Antiochus Epiphanes. He becomes a picture of what is usually called Antichrist.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of St. Mark.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. So where did we stop last time? Oh, yeah, we just gotten well into the little apocalypse of St. Mark, chapter 13. Jesus was warning his disciples to be on guard and watch out, because pitching in with him would lead to suffering. They'd be delivered to councils, beaten in synagogues, arrested, hauled before governors and kings for his sake, and also that they could witness to their great hope. Indeed, Jesus told them that this gospel he's entrusting them with must be preached to all nations. And about them being on trial, he told them, "Don't sweat it. What you need to say will be given to you then and there by the Holy Spirit." And he reminds them that this opposition to him and his gospel will cut even through families, and that what awaits them is hatred and opposition. Still, the one who endures to the end will be saved. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter, the 14th verse. "But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to be, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." St. Mark 13, verse 14. Yeah, that's really all we're going to get through today, because that's a lot to cover. Let us pray. Preserve, O Lord, thy Zion, bought dearly with thy blood. Protect what thou hast chosen against the foe's dread brood. Be thou her great defender when dangers gather round. E'en though the earth be crumbling, safe will thy church be found. Amen. Well, you ready to dig into this single verse from God's Word for today? Let's do it. Verse 14, "But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to be, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." This is a mysterious passage in so very many ways. First, though, let's note that many manuscripts actually have here, right after the term abomination of desolation, the phrase, "spoken of by Daniel the prophet." That corresponds exactly with what Jesus says in St. Matthew 24, verse 15. Daniel speaks of this abomination in several verses. I think we need to hear him out on this. So Daniel 9, verse 27, "And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate, until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator." Daniel 11, verse 31, "Forces from him shall appear and profane the temple and fortress, and shall take away the regular burnt offering, and they shall set up the abomination that makes desolate." And Daniel 12, verse 11, "And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days." Well, that's all clear, right? What's clear is that there is a setting up of something that is an abomination, And there is then the desolation or emptiness that occurs because the prescribed sacrifices that marked the temple's worship will be forced to stop. And so the faithful will have no place to gather. So what is it that Daniel was talking about? You get some help from the Apocrypha. It fills you in on what happened after the last of the prophets wrote and before the New Testament opens, particularly in the books of Maccabees, as they account the struggle of the remnant of the Jewish faithful against the tyranny of the Seleucid king Antiochus Epiphanes. Here's from 1 Maccabees 1. Moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that there should be one people, and everyone should leave his laws, so that all the heathen agreed according to the commandment of the king. Yea, many also of the Israelites consented to his religion, and sacrificed unto idols, and profaned the Sabbath. For the king had sent letters by messengers unto Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, that they should follow the strange laws of the land, and forbid burnt offerings in the temple, and that they should profane the Sabbaths and festival days, and pollute the sanctuary and holy people, set up altars and groves and chapels of idols, and sacrifice swine's flesh and unclean beasts, and leave their children uncircumcised, and should make their souls abominable with all manner of uncleanness and profanation, to the end that they might forget the law and change the ordinances. And whosoever would not do according to the commandment of the king, he said, should die. 1 Maccabees 1, verses 41 to 50. Fascinating. So the king wants a single civil religion, and he's laying down the terms he wants for it. And for the Jews above all, it meant the end of their sacrifices, of their distinctive diet, of their observance of both Sabbath and circumcision. And it was all on penalty of death. You do what this king says or you die. Additionally, we learn a bit more from 2 Maccabees 6, verses 1 to 6. Not long after this, the king, that is Antiochus Epiphanes, sent an old man from Athens to compel the Jews to depart from the laws of their fathers and not live after the laws of God, and to pollute also the temple in Jerusalem, and to call it the temple of Jupiter Olympius, in other words, of Zeus. For the temple was filled with riot and reveling by the Gentiles, who dallied with harlots and had to do with women within the circuit of the holy places, and besides that, brought in things that were not lawful. The altar also was filled with profane things, which the law forbiddeth. Neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath days or ancient festivals or to profess himself to be a Jew. So we may take it that an image of Jupiter Olympius, that is, of Zeus, was set up in the temple itself. That is probably the abomination. And the desolation was the forbidding of the Jews to practice according to the law of Moses. And so no more kosher offerings in the temple. The temple's worship fell desolate in face of the abominable idolatry and profanation taking place there. By the way, the commemoration of the eventual defeat of that wicked king and the subsequent cleansing or dedication of the temple from all of that abomination is the feast called Hanukkah, which you can find referenced in the New Testament in John 10, verse 22. And it was Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. Antiochus Epiphanes' desecration of the temple took place in 167 BC, so more than 150 years before Jesus speaks the words of today's reading. But did you notice that Jesus puts the reference not in the past, but in the future, as something that his disciples will see? But when you see, that suggests that what was foretold by Daniel was only partially fulfilled in the horrible oppression of the wicked king Antiochus Epiphanes. He becomes a picture of what is usually called Antichrist. There would be a redo of this whole mess in the future. And as these prophecies tend to work, the future one will be bigger and worse than the fulfillment at the time of the Maccabees. Oh, and just a note on let the reader understand. Now, it's not quite clear whether that's an instruction for the reader aloud of Mark's gospel from St. Mark himself, or if Jesus included those words. Now, I actually suspect it's from Jesus himself. And it has the intent, then, of telling the hearer to go back to Daniel and read it carefully in order to understand what Jesus is talking about. And Jesus tells his disciples that when they see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not or where it ought not, you can fill that in from St. Matthew 24:15, that is in the sanctuary of God, they are to head to the hills. They are to flee to the mountains out of the city. Interestingly, this had a fulfillment when Rome surrounded the city in 70 AD and then withdrew for just a short time. So they had a little reprieve during which the Christians in Jerusalem, remembering Jesus' words, hightailed it out of the city before the Romans came back and finished it off. You can read about that in Eusebius' Ecclesiastical History, chapter 3, paragraph 5, verse 3. But if Daniel's prophecy wasn't exhausted by the fulfillment of the time of the Maccabees, is it exhausted by the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD? Or might it have further fulfillment at the time of the end, the time of the Antichrist? The unknown writer of the Opus Imperfectum from the 5th century clearly thought so. Listen to how this writer unpacks this verse. What shall we say then? All these things have to be understood spiritually in this manner. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And so when you see the desolating sacrilege standing in the holy place, that is to say, when you see a godless heresy, which is the army of Antichrist, standing in the holy place of the church, at that time, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. That is, let those who are in Christianity hasten to the scriptures. But the mountains are the scriptures of the apostles and prophets concerning whom it is said, glorious are you, more majestic than the everlasting mountains. And again, he says about the church, on the holy mount stands the city he founded. And why does he order all Christians to hasten to the scriptures at this time? Because at this time, ever since a heresy lay hold of the churches, there can be no other test of true Christianity or any other refuge of Christians who want to know the truth of the faith than the divine scriptures. For previously he was showing in many ways what the Church of Christ is and what heathenism is, but now those who want to know what the true Church of Christ is can know it in no other way than only through the scriptures. Is that fascinating or what? Already in those early days, this anonymous writer, in any case, was convinced that the final application would be for Christians in the time of the armies of the Antichrist. Then, when we see the abomination of desolation take place in the church, when idolatry is set up among the people of God, we need to head to the hills that surround Jerusalem. We need to find our only safe refuge, folks, in the divine scriptures. It's hardly surprising, given the history of the church afterward, that those words of the Opus Imperfectum would be remembered and would resonate in the hearts and minds of those troubled by the rise of the papacy and its teachings in the church. Martin Chemnitz, the great Lutheran theologian of mid-16th century, cited these very words in his monumental examination of the Council of Trent, Volume 1. He cited them to show that the Lutherans were simply doing a very patristic thing when they ran to the scriptures at a time when heresy seemed to have gotten established in the outward church. The scriptures provided the only sure and safe refuge for Christians of the 16th century and of every century. With that, we're going to call it quits on this one verse for today. Next time, we'll pick up right after this with Jesus' words that surely connect solidly with the impending destruction of Jerusalem, but also have a lasting meaning for Christians to be ever watchful for the exodus from this age into the promised age to come, no matter what troubles befall us. A final thought on the way all these prophecies work. Think of them like those Russian matryoshka dolls that have layers of dolls inside the outermost doll. So inside the prophecy, there's always more fulfillment than meets the eye. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.